Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I play as Vons, both nacho and Cool Ranch flavors. We all use the he, him pronouns. And today, our Vons friends are, well, they're basically just kind of wondering if they're tripping balls right now. Like, everything's kind of sideways. But you know what? It's fun. It's fun. These gravity dynamics, this is interesting, at least to one of us. The other one, I think, is
not in the room.
I don't know what the other one's doing.
He's outside.
The other one's just probably hanging out in the alchemy lab, actually. Yeah. I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns. And Jesse is helping people to learn important things about friendship.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard, currently melded with Veldroa, the goo monster, with Sidroa, the goo monster. Our portmanteau is Veldroa. I use she, they pronouns. They use whatever pronouns you want to throw at them, because they're a goo monster. And currently, we are keeping an eye on a dial.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold college student pilot. We all use he, him pronouns. And we are trying to fix some consoles.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
I would like to do the recap. Last time, after we essentially freed the Rockettes, we went into the core room and discovered that reality is having a bad time. There is a very large spherical floating crystal in the center, and around it are a lot of walkways that just essentially look like an Escher painting. A lot of weird gravity problems in this room. A lot of, up is down, down is up, up is right, kind of.
I was going to say, I don't think gravity has problems.
No, it's definitely having problems. Definitely having problems in this room. Not acting the way that one would expect it to act. We all are doing our own individual things to try to fix whatever's the problem in this room. Grix went to some consoles, and what he figured out is that eventually the core will probably hit itself with a magic bolt hard enough to fuck up the core. Which would be very bad. And he also figured out that there are some rings with shielding around the core that have been displaced by ice. And so Jesse is trying to melt and get rid of some of that ice with the flame sword. Wealthy found a console that will show when something will happen. A second or two before it happens, and then she also saw something physically stuck between some of the shield and levitated up toward it. Cool Vons is helping Grix, and also standing guard trying to make sure that no magic bolts like hit anybody near him. Jesse also talked Squirrello into being a nicer person. I think that's everybody. Yes, I think that's everybody. So that's what happened last time.
Correction on what I'm doing currently. Apparently, I'm levitating.
Yes I said you're levitating up.
I know, but I told everybody I was keeping an eye on a dial because I didn't realize I was levitating.
Okay.
You were until gravity shifted and yanked you off the walkway you were on.
Face planted,
took some damage, and then decided to go look at the core instead and saw something wedged in one of the shields. Okay, so the space you're in. So the core is, as mentioned, made up of a giant, I believe 180 feet across, crystal sphere with two large rings running around it. Think like a gyroscope or a fancy globe. And those seem to be moving somewhat automatically, and little bursts of magic are going out of it into the core. And you can see little bright flashes even among the brightness of the core. Around the core itself are what you all recognize from the secondary facility that most of you adventured in as will look to be a bigger, cruder version of those same magical shield emitters, although they are currently non-functioning, and I believe Grix took a closer look and they appear to just be straight up broken. What you've been working on is around that, kind of in a bigger ring around both of those, are these big, heavy pieces of metal inscribed with all sorts of runes and magical inlays of like silver and gold on what looks to be, you know, kind of a bronze and copper base. And it looks to be a series of telescoping sections. Each is about a foot thick.
Telescope?
Yeah. And while they're currently stuck in the up position, as it were, due to being jammed by a large chunk of ice growing off one side of the core, and what appears to be the world's worst case of a combination of freezer burn and just ice cold formation, and as well as there's at least one thing jammed between two of the telescoping sections that Wealthy is looking at. But it looks like this was designed to slam down in case of emergency and be a physical barrier to all of the magic coming off of the core. The room you're in, there's like 90 spare feet on each side of the core. The room itself looks like it was almost a bigger sphere surrounding everything. The top and the bottom are flattened out, so the ceiling is a big circle. The floor space is a big circle, but that's after it swings in both, the walls swing in both directions. So, giant sphere, very top and very bottom cut off to make some flat areas. Around the perimeter are walkways, as mentioned. They're carved into the stone, think like giant stone steps. There's only a couple of them, but each of them is about, the first one's only about 5 feet high to the first walkway. And then there's a 10 foot like wall up to the second walkway. Uh-huh. There are ladders carved into the stone at various points. And all of the walkways are covered in consoles and various magical accoutrements. But much of it has been very damaged because the fun thing that's been happening in here for all of you is that the core is shooting off bursts of magic in random directions, apparently very destructively. You think that eventually one of these bursts of magic off the core, be it beam or lightning or warping of space, will destroy one of the subsystems responsible for keeping it functioning and not exploding. And if it does explode, the question is not if the arcs will go to the ground, it's in how many pieces and across how wide an area the arcs will go to the ground. So you have a distinct interest in fixing it. As mentioned, there are areas too, kind of beyond the door you're in. You guys came in the main door, the only door, and further to the other side. Again, it looks like reality gets sick. It's like your vision's being twisted. You can see the walkways twist in spirals or twist into the up position from seeing Cog be teleported over there. At one point, he was on a wall and able to walk down it and step onto the floor. Although gravity is having, generally speaking, also a weird day in here. Every time you move, those of you with hair can feel it lightly tug as it lags behind you, and every step you take has the opportunity to evolve into a nice big leap because you're working with very low gravity. Think like being on the moon. You are also being gently, but surely, tugged towards the core itself, which, in addition to doing fun things to your sense of balance, also means that if you fully lose control, to end up with a lot of hang time, you might go right down into the core itself, which from Grix's examination he knows would be extremely bad for you, and not just in the normal way, that being near a giant magic thing is bad for you. The room is full of wild magic. Cedroa knows from the other facility that even a little bit feels like you are being lightly microwaved, all tingly inside, but in a bad way.
Well, it turns out microwaves are magic, so you know.
It's true. That's just a science fact.
Yeah.
But basically, you're all wearing protective suits, which are negating this for now. But if things get too intense, or more likely if your suit breaches or gets removed for some reason, you will have a very bad time very quickly and may need to retreat or find some other way to protect yourself. I would try to describe smells, but you're in suits, so it probably just smells like body sweat suit and ancient material. Yeah. Yeah. So as far as what everyone was doing, we mostly went over it. Grix, you were towards the core with Scarello, taking a closer visual inspection. Wealthy, you'd gone up to do a visual inspection and saw something wedged between two of the telescoping sections up above and were levitating to do that. Jesse, you had gone over to the giant piece of ice and realized you couldn't chip it apart on your own, so you sent those of the high mountains to go ask FM for the flaming sword and got that back. And you jumped up and then got a little stabbed by some icicles due to fumbling the jump, but you did manage to get up there, and with the gravity pulling you towards the core, you've managed to kind of stand semi-sideways on it and start going into it with the flaming blade. Cool, Vons, you were protecting Grix.
Uh-huh.
And Skrulla's with Grix, and Cog is towards the back in the place where Perspective went out for lunch and never came back. And there have been a couple of various beams and bursts of magic flying around the room, and that's where we'll pick up. We were rolling initiative last time, and let's do that again. With the understanding that each of these rounds is not just the 10 seconds, but a little bit longer.
Ugh, bummer.
I got a 10.
I got a 1.
8.
I rolled a die. Oh, I got a 10.
Okay, so I have Vons, and we'll draw at 10, Grix at 1, and Jesse at 8?
Yep.
Okay, let me roll for your erstwhile NPC companions, who all end up on the 8 mark. Okay, Aldroa, you're up first.
Oh, joy. Yes. I'm floating up towards this piece of something that's stuck in the shield. What do I see when I get close enough?
Make an intelligence check. So you squint against the bright light and try to look in an area of darkness.
9, 19, 21.
Okay. You go and you look at this thing, and it's really wedged in there, so you have to get close. You also realize that it looked smaller than it is, given just the sheer scale of the stuff in here, throwing you off. And you see what looks to be a gray, stony, solid piece of something, roughly conical, you think, with the cone end kind of jammed in there.
Probably it's stalagmite.
Yeah. So do you want to try to get it out?
Yeah. I want to use magic missile.
Okay.
But I don't want to kill myself or anybody else.
That's good.
I know. I'm using levitate right now. Burning hands won't do anything. Shocking grasp won't do anything either. So actually, you know what? I'm going to try shocking grasp.
Okay.
And I am going to, I'm going to look around and see how it's wedged in there. And, you know, like, is it, you know, if I push it one way, will it, if I were to reach out and shock it, and push it, would it push it one way and make it more easy to push out or something like that? I mean, and how, what are the dimensions of this conical stone shape?
It's about 2 feet across at its base. And then it's hard to see how deep it goes in. You would probably guess at least 2 feet that direction as well.
Okay.
It's wedged pretty much point on into it. So,
well, given my experience with the arcs, I know what a stalagmite looks like, and it's probably a lot longer than 2 feet because you don't get really, really hugely stubby stalagmites. You tend to get longer ones. So I'm going to use shocking grasp.
Okay.
Let me ask you one thing. Has the mechanism that it's stuck in, has it created any grooves in the stalagmite? You know, as it went in, did it shear off some of the material on the side, or is it just sitting there pretty much intact?
It's sitting there pretty much intact.
Okay. That tells me that it's a lot less wedged in there than it is just sitting there. I mean, it's still probably wedged pretty good, but it's probably not wedged in such a way that it's not going to move at all without shield coming in and pushing on it, which I don't want to ask anybody to do. So I'm going to take my shocking grasp, and I have no idea what shocking grasp does anymore because I never use shocking grasp. So I'm going to search for shocking grasp. Okay. So I generate a potent charge of energy, 1d8 damage, plus 1 per level. I am a third level caster, so I do 1d8 plus 3 damage. A target actively defending, which this won't be, the spell ends after one successful hit on a target, though not when the target attacks the wizard. The charge can be transmitted by touching a conducting material that the target holds, such as a sword blade, or a length of metal wire. I have the Spear of Champions, so I'm going to let out Shocking Grasp, and I am going to get behind the, you know, where it's leaning most towards me. I'm going to get behind the stalagmite, and I am going to touch it with the end of the spear.
The Spear of Champions has a wooden haft, which is non-conductive.
Fuck! Okay, I have a dagger.
Okay.
Damn it. I have a dagger, which means I'm going to have to be a hell of a lot closer. So I'm going to go in about a foot down from the base of the stalagmite. I am going to shock the living hell out of it and pray that I don't get hit.
Okay.
So it's 1d8 plus 3.
Make an attack roll.
That's what I said. 1d8, 5, plus 3 is 8.
Make an attack roll.
Oh.
To hit.
That's right. Oh, God. That is 10. Plus strength is 2, so 12.
Okay. You reach out, electricity coursing through your dagger, to touch the stalactite. The stalactite, the bottom of it opens up.
Oh, God.
It's a revealing mimic. Two large, pale, milky eyes.
Yeah, that's a mimic.
And a whole host of tentacles as it lurches out of the way of your dagger and floats in the air near you.
Okay.
You are enveloped in darkness.
I am enveloped in darkness. Okay, well, sucks for me.
Cool Vons.
Uh-huh.
You are up.
Am I enveloped in darkness?
You are not.
What do we see from her enveloped in darkness? Anything?
The rest of you see a sphere of darkness pop up around where Wealthy was. It is, in fact, a perfect sphere of darkness.
Oh, that's weird.
In a way that implies to, well, Grex, that it is magical in nature.
Okay, wow.
So,
it's about 20 feet across.
Is it moving?
No, it appears to be stationary.
Huh, that's good.
But this did just happen, so maybe it'll move later.
And y'all go, sucks to be her, we got things to do.
Oh, we don't know where you are. It's just a big ball of darkness.
Somewhere in there, probably.
It's where I was.
I feel like Jesse, in this situation, certainly, like, once she's got a good angle on her sawing, is like, you know, keeping at least a somewhat of an eye on where everybody else is in the room.
Yeah, you are kind of, I imagine you are up on the, you're on the ice and Wealthy was on one of the sides of the drop down blast shield thing. So I'm not sure you can actually see Wealthy from where you are.
Well, she was at least keeping, she was just at least keeping tabs on like roughly where everybody is in the room. So, yeah,
you know, the rough direction where Wealthy was over there somewhere. But yeah. So cool Vons.
Yeah. Guess we're, well, it cool Vons can throw many angry things into the darkness. We could literally attack the darkness, couldn't we?
Yeah, this is our chance.
But if Wealthy is in that ball, probably hit Wealthy. Doesn't seem smart. Ah, Wealthy's probably fine. I'll just continue staying on guard, making sure it doesn't come near Grix while Grix is doing work.
Okay.
Grix is doing work, right?
Yeah. Basically, for this, what I'll do is I'll treat that as prepared action to attack if it comes near you. That said, because you're standing near Grixen, mostly just waiting. Like, you don't have a real expectation the thing will charge at you, although it could.
It's not just waiting.
Yeah.
It's guarding.
You're actively waiting. But if nothing happens and then something comes up you want to do, we could just treat it as delayed.
Sure.
Okay. Next up, we have Scarello. Scarello was up with Grix and says, fine, I will stop, collaborate, and God help me, I might listen to other people. And starts weaving some sort of spell in the air. Jesse, you're up.
Jesse's like, proud of you, bud.
Ooh, character
and then
growth.
Yells to, she keeps working on the sawing.
Okay, make a strength check for me, please.
Okay. That's a dirty 20.
Okay.
And you said that from the angle that she's at, she can't actually see Wealthy. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
There's a giant glowing sphere in the way.
Who can she see from where she is?
I think at the very edge of your vision, if you kind of crane around, you can see Grix, Cool Vons, and Scarello. And then off the other direction from where you are, you can see where Cogs.
Making his way back.
Yeah.
Ish. Okay. Yeah, that's it, because I don't know that anything else is happening, because nobody has verbalized that there's darkness.
Yeah, you've started sawing, you got one nice chunk off last round, and with this next one, you've cut another big piece off. you're working your way through this pretty fast. You kind of shave down the sides of it too. I assume you're just trying to cut the ice out of the way of the blast shield piece. You're not trying to, you know, get that core nice and shiny and clean again.
No, certainly not.
Okay. You think one or two more rounds and you can probably get it clear enough that the sheer weight of this thing should break through any remainders without you putting yourself in too much danger. But all right. So Jesse, you're sawing away. Cog was able to kind of step off of the wall walkway bit, the vertical walkway bit, and onto the rest of it with some stumbling, but was able to do so, and starts jogging his way back out of the fucking Escher painting that is the back of this room, and gets around to be roughly level with Jesse, but spends his round moving, but appears to be out of immediate gravitational danger. All right, Cog gets level with everyone.
Whoa. All right, break it down for us, Cog.
Sorry, gets level with Jesse. Just in time for Jesse, you see the core pulse.
No.
A lightning bolt shoots past you, and Cog gets to try to dive out of the way of a giant lightning bolt.
Oh, no.
Cog does not do very well.
Oh, no.
He gets hit by a giant lightning bolt.
Oh, no.
No.
He's got hecka metal on him, too.
I mean, no more than anyone else. You're all
does
in
he?
Suits.
Yeah, I don't.
I imagine he carries an assortment of wrenches.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
All right.
Oh, no.
So it goes. It shoots at Cog. It ricochets off the wall, which is at a downward arc at that point. So then it ricochets off of the walkway that Cog was on and shoots up towards the ceiling, bounces off of there, and then finally dissipates. Jesse, it was starting to head back towards you, but stops a couple yards away.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Cog is on the ground, but you see him twitch, so clearly he's fine.
You okay, bud? Okay, well, when I'm done, I'll come potion you, bud.
Cog's my favorite cartoon character in the series.
You see an extremely shaky thumbs up at your comment, Jesse. All right, and then... All right. And then a series of multicolored bolts, you know, red and orange and yellow and green and blue and all that, shoots out. Those of you who fought the prismatic eye / an oculus recognize this as the attack it used that, you know, did 40 damage to Cool Vons and knocked Wealthy down to 4 hit points and borderline fatally poisoned May. And it goes and it shoots out and hits those of the high mountains.
Oh.
Nothing happens.
Oh.
Cool.
Good.
Kind of washes over them.
Oh.
They don't twitch.
Well, like, that was...
Huh.
Unnecessarily anxiety-inducing.
If it hit anyone else, it would have been extremely bad.
Yeah. I think that when Jesse sees that that happens, she essentially, like... I think that Jesse is like, I would like to not get hit with bolts. So, she, like, adjusts her... stance to be able to basically just like drop at whatever point she needs to.
Yeah.
Just so that like if she sees something coming, she can just like drop off. Cause I think she's less afraid of fall damage than she is afraid of getting hit with whatever the fuck is going on with the magic in this room.
Yeah, you can make it so you're kind of the hand you're using to stabilize yourself above you is you have your palm hooked under something. It's so you can just shove yourself down. And try to get out of the way.
Yes, please.
All right. Grix, you're up.
Sweet.
Skrello offers you a hand.
I take it.
Do you remember what we did when we were undoing the enchantment for those of the high mountains?
No.
You helped me visualize things with your amazing illusionist abilities, by which I mean adequate illusionist abilities.
You think I'm amazing. Got it. Yeah, I can help with that. What do you need?
You know these machines.
Will help you. Some of them.
I will help you visualize them. So you feel magic flow out of Skrello into you and also see a few lines of magic go to some of the consoles and start kind of gently tracing across the conduits.
Some third date stuff.
Did forget to mention that the ceiling and floor, that flat area, has conduits going in all directions that are embedded in it that carry power to other parts of the city, by which I mean to all of the city. But at any rate, so the magic flows into you, Grix, and it taps into your illusionist silent image abilities. And you see as these tracing lines go throughout, that a diagram much like the ones you've built other times starts flowing out in front of you. You have a visualization of most of the core system, and more importantly, good visualizations of where lines are perhaps broken where they shouldn't be or strangely shaped.
Okay, cool.
So you can use it as an analysis tool with an intelligence check to try to figure out where people need to go and what they need to do.
Okay, great. I will try to call out instructions then to each person on what their closest thing is that they can reasonably deal with.
Okay, make an intelligence check to try to figure at least one of those out.
Okay. Ooh, I rolled a 19 on the die. So that's a dirty one.
Okay.
31. Sorry.
Well, that's pretty damn good. So
yeah,
you already have people on some of the physical objects already. The physically jamming the thing objects.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you realize is that off on one side of the core, twisting off of it, almost like a whirlpool or a tornado, so getting narrow at the core itself and then expanding out, you see that several connections and consoles on the diagram are twisting around in a spiral. All of those connections are still working, and you do think that those consoles, well, apparently continually moving and various non-flexible things stretching and being flexible somehow, you think that having those configured a certain way would help greatly to stabilize the core. When you look up, you see where it is. Going off of the core, if the door you came in from was south, this would be off to the northwest, is that spiraling whirlpool, and you can see that it appears to be a combination of space itself twisting around and motion. It's hard to tell from the outside. Light appears to be being bent, and Squirrello helps you zoom in on it, and you can figure out with that 30 what configurations it needs to be in. What configurations about three of the consoles need to be in order to get everything up and running.
Sweet.
They aren't complicated consoles, but they do need some, you know, hands-on love.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, who would you send to do that?
Who's closest?
Probably the Orb of Darkness that contains Wealthy.
Okay. Well, that's not super helpful unless the orb goes away.
The second closest person would be Cool Vons.
Cool Vons can follow technical instructions. Sure.
Yeah.
Because of the place he came from, he's probably got more technical proficiency than... Yeah.
Well, both Vonses know how to do
different
technical stuff.
Technical different stuff. Histories, but, you know, but
yeah.
You know, push the thing that looks like a, you know, round red disc. I don't know. You can do stuff like that. Yeah. I have faith. I will call out to Cool Vons. Hey, there's the consoles right next to you. You got to do these sequences.
Oh, yeah. I know sequences.
Yeah, get over there and follow my instructions.
Is this going to be like a game with Simon?
Don't keep talking and nobody explodes.
Twist it, bop it, flick it.
Keep talking and nobody explodes is a really good example. Yeah.
It's a great episode name.
Yeah. Legally distinct, somehow. Despite being a direct reference.
Talking and nobody is electrocuted.
Yeah. All right, Cool Vons.
Mm-hmm.
Given that nothing came in attack, do you want to start heading over towards there?
Yep.
Okay, so this spiraling mess of floating consoles in reality is actually up off the floor, kind of goes off the side of the orb that is the core, twists down for a moment, and then goes upwards and towards the upper back corner of the room, expanding as it goes. It is not near the floor. However, you can jump quite high in this room if you're trying to.
Oh, I bet.
So you could probably jump up into it, or you can try climbing up some of the walkways and I'll have a shorter jump into it.
Vons is this Vons is very ninja-esque.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll go ahead and take the riskier move if it gets things going a bit better.
Okay, roll a dexterity check.
That would be this one. Okay, yeah. Okay, so I rolled a 5, but still, we're adding like a bunch to it, right? Because dex.
Yeah, you're adding your level and then you're adding your dexterity modifier.
Yeah, plus 1, plus, so 15.
Okay.
But
15.
It's a good 15.
Yeah, and it's on a prime.
Yeah.
So, Cool Vons, you go to channel, all those cool movies you've seen, you crouch down and you launch yourself towards it. And you realize that the thing the movies don't do a good job telling you about is how to control stuff so you hit the apex of your jump at the point you want and not just start shooting past it or into the object you're aiming at. So you do make the jump.
Crouching tiger.
And you leap up into the twisting group of consoles, but your timing isn't quite right. And so while you do grab onto one, instead of doing a cool, like, one-handed grab and swinging onto it and crouching down like you meant to, it just kind of hits you square in the chest as you scrabble and scramble and your claws scrape on metal and stone, but you do manage to hold yourself on like a terrified cat holding itself onto a tree.
Yeah.
You do take 5 points of damage because it really just hit you right in the ribs. But you're okay and you're up in there now.
Oh, I did this to me.
Looking at it from the inside, it looks more cylindrical here, so that's slightly more convenient. It appears to be made of 3 sections, roughly equally long, rotating clockwise, counterclockwise, and then clockwise again. And you see any of the connections or the floor or whatever, you know, the visuals kind of stretch and stretch and stretch, and they're on opposite sides, and then slowly snap back together as things line back up.
Sure.
So maybe don't try to keep 1 foot on either side of that divide and see what happens. But yeah, so you're in a giant multi-segment rotating cylinder hallway. But everything in here does seem remarkably intact.
And rotating.
Something. You're wearing a helmet, so this is less obvious than it might have been otherwise, but the world outside becomes a little more muted, and you're having trouble seeing. It's like looking through a glass of swirling water to the outside world right now. So it's all kind of vague, warped, indistinct shapes and light.
All right.
So that was the round.
Woo.
Roll for initiative.
Oh, goodness.
This is going to take a while.
Well, we also introduced a bunch of stuff this time, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Grix.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
9.
Okay. Cool Vond.
6.
Jesse.
7.
And Wiltroa.
3.
Okay. Let's roll one more thing. All right. Grix, you're up first.
Cool. I'm going to shout out all the stuff to Vons, Cool Vons. Make sure he knows what he's doing there.
All right.
And then I suppose you said there were multiple panels that we had to deal with.
So the 3 are all in that swirling mass. The 3 panels you want to work on based on what you just figured out are all in that spiral. So you can also go in there. But
yeah, I'll do that then. I'll hop over.
It is fraught for someone who is not particularly dexterous. I'm going to be hopping around.
I'm all right.
Okay. Make a charisma check real quick to convey to Cool Vons what he needs to do.
Charisma. 9 plus 11, 20.
Okay. You will give Cool Vons a small bonus to his intelligence check when he goes to do stuff, because you are very clear. And you go to head into the swirling mass of consoles. Do you want to keep that visualization thing up, or do you want to just try to memorize what you've seen so far and call it good?
Ooh, hard question. Like, how complex is it? Can I remember it easily?
You'd probably be able to remember the consoles fairly easily. Figuring out what else you might need to do, it will be easier to find the consoles you need to if you keep it up. You could probably memorize what needs to be on each console fairly simply, but finding out any other problems this setup might have, like the core itself might have beyond these configurations, it would be very hard to memorize it well enough to do that.
Crap. Well, then maybe I will wait here and keep the thing up, because I don't think I can dexterously leap and jump and swing and stuff while holding the illusion up.
So holding the illusion wouldn't be too hard if you keep holding hands with Skrilla, but that would make jumping around tricky.
That sounds real complicated. I'm gonna play it safe. I'm gonna play it cool. I'm gonna wait here. I'll hold with the illusion until Cool Vons is done with this one. Maybe when it gets down to the last one, I'll drop it and go deal with that myself.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. I want to keep it safe.
Do you want to make an intelligence check? Try to figure out any extra bits while you're here?
Sure, why not? It's free, isn't it? 24.
Okay. 24, you discovered these a little bit last time, but now you know exactly where they are. You do see that there are also 2 conduits spread at a couple different points in this room. One fairly close to you and one far away and up on the ceiling, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
Both of which should probably be repaired or bypassed as part of stabilizing the core. These are just more your standard, something hit this and severed it, and we need to patch it back together sort of things. It's something either you or Wealthy know how to do.
Got it.
But you know exactly where those are, and you won't have to keep that visualization up to remember those.
Okay, cool. Then I will wait. I will still wait here, though, until Kovans is done with the first step.
Okay. Cog shakily picks himself back up, and I think he gave all the NPCs one cure critical or cure serious, correct?
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but we definitely gave them something so that they could heal themselves at least once on their own. I'm going to maybe because talking is a free action, say to those of the high mountains, hey, will you help Cog get out into the hall so he can take his helmet off?
You saw Cog reach into his belt, pull out, you know, the potion which he kept on the outside, and then is kind of looking at it when you say that, and then you just see his use his other hand and like hit the faceplate of his helmet, like of course. Why do I think I've been able to do that? All right, so he will start jogging towards those high mountains then.
We should have had camelbacks, potion camelbacks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Little sippy straws.
Yeah, 100%.
Or auto-injectors.
Like the like the astronauts have.
Mm-hmm.
Skrullo keeps up the spell that is letting you trace through and visualize everything in real time. For his turn, Jesse, you're up.
Jesse is going to keep sawing away at the ice. I feel like that's the only thing that you said that I could probably do this turn. So, well, I did a strength check.
All right,
and I got a 19, so that is 30. I saw the fuck out of this.
I'm going to say that speeds things up for you. You channeled the best carpenters that have ever lived, the best ice sculptors, the best, a good third thing to round out the joke, and chop apart this giant chunk of ice. The last few pieces you cut off fall into the core and
snow cones
seem to kind of skip the liquid stage and just flash evaporate into puffs of steam.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I'm going to say you even have time if you want to shove yourself back towards the ground and get back on the floor.
Yeah, I think I would like to do that for sure.
Okay, make a token dexterity check just to get down there.
Sublimation.
Oh, yay. I rolled a 2. So that's 13.
Not a prime.
Not a prime.
All right.
I just sort of face plant, I think.
Yeah. Gonna say you don't fumble so badly you like trip into the core, but you do face plant. You are falling a decent distance, but being in low gravity helps a lot. However, I do roll high. You take 14 points of damage as you face plant.
That's fine. I still have 20 points, or I still have 50 hit points.
You also managed to twist slightly so that the faceplate of your helmet is not the thing that hits first.
Yay! That's the most important part.
It is. Okay, so you're prone, but you're good.
Okay.
More or less.
Great.
Cool Vons.
Uh-huh.
You're riding. You're a console cowboy in cyberspace. You're riding this thing and make an intelligence check. Add a d4 to understand which console Grix needs you to go to and exactly what sequence you're doing things in.
Well, I think this is going well. I rolled a 19, a 3 on the d4, so that puts that to 22. On an int check, that adds 1, so 23 plus level puts it at 32.
The glorious scaling of Castles and Crusades. All right. You know exactly what he means. I do think your background and coming from a world with highly technical machines does help a lot, like you said.
We have calculators, and if you turn them upside down, you write all kinds of things.
Hello.
Yes. It's the only one anyone's ever written. Uh-huh. All right. Now make a dexterity check to launch yourself off and get to the right console.
Okay. So that dex check, I believe, comes to 24.
Okay. Cool Vons. You see that it's spinning across the ring of consoles and walkway from you. You leap off. You compensate just right for the gravity gently pulling you towards that core. You flip midair and land feet first on the console, not on the part with all the buttons and stuff, and grab a hand onto what would normally have been the front edge. And you're able to deftly reconfigure the console.
Well, you mess up the astronaut thing enough times, you eventually figure it out.
Yeah.
do a little flip in midair for style.
It inexplicably makes a happy chime sound and glows green.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. Now that Vons has ninjaed about, those are the high mountains goes. Those of the High Mountains goes up, grabs Cog, and fucks off through a wall. Aldroa, you're up.
All right, what's going on inside the darkness? It's dark.
That's right. I should have rolled for that thing. Well, it went before you, so that's fun. I just write thing on the sheet. All right, you're in the darkness, and something attacks.
Okay.
And just manages to not get a 20, so that's cool. Saw the die tilt from 20 to 14. Okay.
I just saw that happen myself.
Wealthy, you take 7 points of damage.
All right.
As tentacles wrap around you.
Oh, shit.
And you feel something start scraping at your helmet as the tentacles begin to squeeze. Now it's your turn.
No fun at all. I am going to cast Magic Missile.
Okay.
And I am going to point it in the direction that I last saw the creature.
Well, you can feel the creature on your head, so.
Well, okay. Well,
it was grabbing you, so it's easy to figure out where it is.
Hopefully one of my hands is out, and I can point it at my head.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
Yeah, it's got tentacles like wrapped around your shoulders and upper arms, but you still have more than enough motion to point your magic missile where it needs to go.
Okay, then I'm going to point it up and back.
Okay. Roll your damage.
Oh man, how big is this, how big is that sphere of, darkness?
About 20 feet across.
Interesting.
Does anybody remember?
Yes,
hush. So it's three, it's two, one, two. That's 7 plus 3. I'm doing 3 shots. Yes. So that's 10 plus 3. Is 13.
I think you do 4 shots because you're casting as a 7th level wizard, right? 7th or 9th?
1, 2, 1, I got 3 shots. 1, I got 2 shots. 3, I got 3 shots. 4. Yeah,
you get another shot every additional level, so.
Yeah. All right, then it's 12 plus 4, which is 16.
All right. You hear via the vibrations through your helmet just as much as through the air outside your magic missiles crash into the side of this thing, and you hear some cracking and chipping noises, but it is still holding on tight and seemingly attempting to make a delicious meal of your skull with its beak.
Okay.
Well, joke's on it. You've got 2 skulls.
Yeah, I've got oil, and I'm a goo monster, so, you know, Sadroa can reach out and touch someone, hopefully.
As long as your suit doesn't breach.
Yeah. Except that, yeah. Well, I don't know. Okay.
What a delightfully weird result. Okay.
You picked up that 3rd skull, just saying.
You could have 2 backups.
We offered you the Wizard Dave's skeleton, and you didn't want it, so...
What would the Wizard Dave's skeleton have done me in this situation? I
don't know.
I don't know. I mean, well, I just feel like, you know, we'll never know now.
I mean, 3 skulls, that's 3 chances to bite.
Grix.
Uh-huh.
A burst of magic, a golden yellow beam, shoots out of the core right at you. Would you like to try to resist it?
As opposed to...
I don't know. Let it happen. All right.
No, I'm good.
A constitution saving throw.
Constitution saving throw. 13 on the die. 22. Not prime.
All right. That is not quite high enough. Off by 1, unfortunately. Grix, you're hit by this golden beam. You feel like you could run a zillion miles in 10 seconds. You've had haste cast on you.
Oh. Weird.
Make an intelligence check to remember how haste works in Castles and Crusades.
Oh.
Sounds like an Ian job.
No, I remember this. It's the same as it does in early stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 22.
All right, yeah. You're going to go real fast. You're also going to age by a year, and you're going to have to make a con check at the end of this to avoid losing a hit point.
Damn. Okay. Like permanently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can move twice as fast, and you can attack twice as much per round. Technically, it's not supposed to apply to other actions, but screw that. You'll be able to do extra your next round because of this.
Oh, okay. Grix has the zoomies.
Yes. The zoomies most foul.
That's the episode title.
That is the episode title.
Hell yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
The zoomies most foul. I love it.
But all right. So Grix has the zoomies. Something's trying to snack on Wealthy's skull. Jesse is probably not even mildly embarrassed because Jesse knows that sometimes mistakes happen and is cool with that. And with Vaughn's being a cool ass ninja, that's where we will pick up next time.
Cool. Jesus.
Thank you. Gosh.
Ninja time.
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all our blazed posts. Is that really the term we're using these days? Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by, well, me, that's Adam. This week's editor was Ian. Thanks, Ian. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.
You think that if y'all don't do something, it's very likely that it'll eventually hit the wrong part of its one of its subsystems. The wrong part. Yeah. You think that if you don't do anything about it, you'll eventually hit the wrong part of one of its subsystems. I'm going to say that one more time.
We believe in you.
Yeah.